Hey everyone, it's Brendan here, and I'm a registered physiotherapist based out of Vancouver, British Columbia. We are coming to you from the Run Lab again, and today we're going to change it up. Now, given the way that our daily schedules tend to be busy with work, kids, other engagements, hanging out with friends, watching our favorite shows on Netflix, it's hard to find the time to stick to a training schedule. Especially given the current state of affairs and how things are like, most of us are spending a lot more time indoors, and sometimes it's just hard to shake things up. I mean, after all, a day sitting around in pajamas actually sounds pretty comfortable. So today I wanted to talk about motivation. Throughout today's episode, we're going to move away from the scientific approach, and I'm going to share a little bit about my own story and about what drove me to start training and how I was able to stick to that regular routine despite being fairly busy. Now, I'm not married and I don't have kids, so before anyone scoffs, I just want to say that I know everyone's individual situation is going to look different, as there are different ways and different things that make it hard for each of us to make these changes. What makes it hard for me to train consistently isn't going to necessarily be the same thing that makes it hard for you to train consistently. And I do want to highlight that I use the term train consistently loosely, as consistent can mean once a day for 30 minutes, but it can also mean 4 or 5 runs a week totaling 80 kilometers or more, or it could even mean hitting the gym once or twice a week. But no matter what the frequency is, consistency always means that you're sticking with it, week in and week out. So as always, for those of you tuning into this podcast for the first time, the information presented today is based on research, clinical experience, and my own thoughts and preferences, and is not intended as a substitute for medical advice. So if you're suffering from a specific injury or condition, please seek help from a registered physiotherapist or other qualified health practitioner so that you can be accurately assessed and diagnosed. So for those of you who know me in real life or have listened to my podcast, you've probably heard me talk about running throughout my childhood, the infamous popsicle stick analogy, and the inspiration I found when I was younger. But I haven't spoken in depth about my time walking away from the sport of running. Up until high school, I ran pretty competitively. I did track and field. I was on the cross-country team. I did love running at the time, but I wouldn't say that I took it incredibly seriously. Apart from the occasional team practice, running wasn't yet something I lived and breathed. As with many people, university life took some adjusting to. Perhaps it was just the workload, or maybe I just wasn't as smart as I thought I was, but I took the transitions a lot harder than most people. I realized that I had to put in significantly more time with studying and still found that I wasn't doing as well. You know the feeling when you and a friend both try something for the first time and it just seems like it comes naturally to them but not to you? That's kind of the feeling I had when I started university. So the result of that first year of university was that I practically gave up on exercise. Apart from some beer league ice hockey, I barely went running at all. My eating habits weren't terrible, so I don't want to pretend like this was a life-altering phase where I gained the infamous freshman 15. By all means, I was still in decent shape, but it was just mostly mental that I started to feel the effects of this more sedentary lifestyle. Now, not all of you love the feeling of running, and that's okay. But I do think that it's safe to say that most of us probably understand the rewarding feeling after a run. Like after you catch your breath, or when the muscles don't ache quite as much, you felt like you've done some work, you feel the endorphins, and you feel accomplished. You're having that post-run beer. But it wasn't really until much later in life that I think I missed that feeling, and I didn't know it. Sometimes I try to quantify my fitness after my university years, and I suppose I can kind of illustrate it with my Vancouver Sunrun times. Now, the Vancouver Sunrun was an annual 10K race for charity that I found myself running most years growing up in Vancouver. Maybe it was habit, maybe it was simply to spend some time with family, who, as a side note, all run the Sunrun every year for fun as well. But I started developing a poor habit of less exercise, less than ideal eating habits, and I could track the effects in the results of this Vancouver Sunrun. So back in 2012, I clocked in at 49 minutes and 39 seconds, which was a pretty standard time for me at the time during that phase of my life, a slightly sub 50 minute 10K, But in 2014, I had already dropped to 50 minutes and 30 seconds. And then another 3 years later in 2017, I clocked in at 52:55, to date, my worst 10K time. Now, of course, it doesn't seem like a massive decline in performance, but even a minute and spare is the equivalent of 2-3% change. That means that over the span of 5 years, my 10K race time on a course I've done multiple times worsened by over 6%. And I think that 2017 was really my breaking point. In 2017, I had gone through all of university and I had finished physio school and I was just moving back to Vancouver. And so all that time being in school and studying and being more sedentary, I think it all just started adding up. I can't quite pinpoint it. Perhaps it was the slow slide in physique change, or maybe I was just feeling out of breath playing rec league sports, but I felt inclined to sign up for the Bank of Montreal Half Marathon in early May of 2017, just weeks after that slowest sun run time. Now, I want to caution everyone, the following is a bad idea, so never try this at home. I think I had always told myself that I was going to compete in a half marathon, but I never seemed to want to train for one. So I always put it off every year, giving myself the same excuse of, oh, okay, you know what, maybe next year I'll train and then next year I'll do it. So this year in 2017, spurred on for whatever reason it may be, with very little notice, I decided that I would simply sign up for the half marathon the weekend before, and I would be forced to do it despite not training for it. After all, it would be my first one and therefore would technically be a personal best no matter how poorly I did. So 7 days before the race, I went out to the track and I ran 50 laps, a half marathon, just to see if I could do it. I practically spent the next 6 days or so in a chair, unable to walk without pain, but I managed to get back to about 100% the day before the race. Now, I remember feeling very humbled during the race because you always start out strong. It's new, it's exciting, there are banners, people are cheering you on, music is being played, and so it was for me. I started the race off feeling pretty good, less anxious since I had already gone to the track the week before and did the mileage, and I wasn't really setting my sights on anything in particular. Maybe I was just trying to get in under 2 hours, which I felt like was a very realistic goal. And I think mentally, I was just simply relying on my general fitness to get me through. But man, that was like the longest distance I had ever run in my life. And I think that was actually one of the hardest things I had done to this day. But I think whether it was the combination of running that first half marathon in an hour and 53 minutes and 45 seconds, which I feel like it's actually a respectable first attempt at a half marathon. And I don't know if it was this accomplishment or maybe just the atmosphere of everyone running together, but I kind of fell in love with it. I do remember that I gave everything I had until the very end, but even so, did I have to walk for some parts? Yeah. Did I have to stop for water? Yeah. But most importantly, did I think I was capable of doing better? You better believe I did. And so began the journey to race against myself. You know, that summer I started running more often. I started out with just a couple times a week, just simply getting back to the sport I used to love. And like I've said in previous podcasts before, the first few times never feel great. But if you stick to it long enough, it becomes a lot easier. And as I got more consistent with it, I started seeing improvements. It wasn't immediate, and it wasn't even all that fast, but it happened right under my nose. The next year in 2018, I once again did the Vancouver Sun Run 10 kilometers and the BMO Half Marathon. This time I clocked in at 47:47 and 1:47:35 respectively. A 5 minute and 20 second improvement from the previous Sun Run and a 6 minute and 10 second improvement from the previous Half Marathon. I was hooked. The improvement over that year was substantial, and was solidification for me that consistency would yield effects. And after sitting down and breaking all the races down, I realized I wasn't even doing everything I could be doing yet. I hadn't adjusted my diet at all. I wasn't even running really high volume. The sky was the limit. From that point onwards, I decided to press down on the gas. I vowed that I was going to take this seriously and discover where my limit was, not only for improving my physique anymore, but to challenge myself. Training consistently gave me very many things. It gave me a routine. It gave me something that was reliable from week to week. It was a sense of purpose and a goal, something to always work towards. It taught me perseverance, and it gave me an outlet. You know, that year I had gone through a bad breakup, and I was honestly just feeling that it was nice to have something to pour myself into. It was something that would take my energy so I didn't have to hold anything in, and most of all, it was something that was under my control. I was working 60-hour weeks and trying to fit in everything from time with family, extracurricular sports, socializing with friends, church. I'm not sure that I realized it at the time. I might have still thought that I was running mostly for physical fitness, but I think in hindsight, running to me at that point was already more than just a form of exercise. It was the one thing that got me through a lot. It showed me that value came from within, and that as long as I was willing to get out and work for it, that things would progress and that the world would keep spinning. So fast forward to today, and with consistent training, increasing volume, a running coach, and improved eating habits, I managed to land my first sub 1 hour and 30 minute half marathon by clocking it at 1:26:13 in the 2020 first half marathon in Vancouver. Almost a 30 minute improvement over my first half marathon attempt less than 3 years ago. Now, getting to this point took a lot of hard work, a lot of hours running, and a lot of grit and perseverance. And I know that I'll need even more if I want to continue chasing the goals that I have, but this isn't the reason I continue to run. A lot of things can bring us to running, whether it's getting back in shape or whether it's to help with mental health. Maybe the exercise was prescribed by a doctor and it wasn't even your choice. But at the end of the day, no matter what brings us here, we all have to find out our own reason to stay. Making a New Year's resolution or to pick up a new hobby isn't that hard. The difficult part is sticking with it. Without finding the real motivation, the real drive, it won't stick. And I don't say that like there aren't days where I feel lazy. There are definitely days where I skip runs, or maybe I eat a little bit too much junk food. But by being consistent week in and week out, I can afford these days off and it doesn't make me feel bad. I still work over 50 hours a week. I still play in a multi-league sport for fun. I play some ball hockey. I've gotten my parents and family into running a little bit too, initially for health reasons, but now they go off and do their little runs together. I've even found a special someone that loves the sport of running and will go for long runs with me. Running has been a scaffold for many things in my life, and I can honestly say that I wouldn't be where I am today without running. And while I still have physical goals that I'm chasing and times I want to beat, I know that that won't always be the case. Improvements will slow down at some point, but it doesn't even matter when that point is anymore, because what I get out of running and why I continue to run far exceeds a quantifiable amount. I don't run just for exercise or to beat a time. I run for the feeling of pushing myself. I run for a means of getting to the grocery store. I run to race the sun on the horizon. I run as a fun date idea. I run for me. And so with that, I leave you with this challenge. We all have our reasons for getting into running or for getting into more exercise. But I encourage you all to sit down and think about your choice of exercise, whether it's running, going to the gym, or taking a class. But think about what you get out of it. What is it that you love about it? You already know why you got into it. You just have to find out why you should stay. So thanks again for tuning into the Run Lab. Please leave a comment below or on Instagram or on my website or just private message me anytime. But let me know what you think. Any questions, comments, or even just to let me know what kind of exercise you'd like to do. My name is Brendan Ip, a registered physiotherapist based out of Vancouver, British Columbia. Until next time on the Run Lab.